What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show with a great coach, a legend in the game, Coach Dan Van Gundy. He with me on the Boss Man Show. Coach Van Gundy, how are things down there in the great state of Florida right now, Coach?
Well, still hot and humid, but, our part of the state came through Hurricane Helene pretty well. Obviously, a lot of other people, had it really hard, and then north of us even worse. So, my thoughts are with those people, and hopefully they get the help that they need.
So I just want to ask you about Tim Mutombo, somebody I knew very well from my time covering the Hawks, around the NBA. What's your interaction with Tim Mutombo, and what is your thoughts of him impacting on and off the floor and what he did for basketball and just the world in general, Coach?
Well, I think, first of all, on the courts, the easy part and probably in the scheme of things, the less important part, but he was, one of the great shot blockers of all time. And because of him, any team he was on was going to be very formidable defensively, and you were not going to get any easy baskets. He was not going to allow that to happen. But I think beyond that, my brother coached him in Houston for a time. And when he got word of Dikembe's passing, the first words he said to me were he was a great humanitarian, and I think that's, more important. What he did with his hospital in the Republic of Congo and the number of people that he helped, he really saved a lot of lives. I mean, that's what he did. He used the fame and the money he earned playing a game to impact the world. And I think that, at the end of the day, if any of us can make the world a little bit better, just a little bit better for one person, we've probably done pretty well. And Dikembe Mutombo made the world a lot better for a lot of people. And I think that's what matters. I know he left behind in the NBA a lot of very, very close friends who he meant a lot to. I know Patrick Ewing, I had texted with him at the time, and, you know, obviously very upset. He and Dikembe were very, very close. And I just think those guys like him are, you hate to say one in a million, because it might not even be that many.
No doubt, Coach. You know, I'm going to miss his laugh, Coach. I'm going to miss his big smile. And Coach, this will blow your mind, Coach. I was a ball boy for the Hawks, Coach. So I was around him as a kid. So to be an adult now and have him come to Hawks games and get to talk to him as an adult, he been me as a kid around Dominique Wilkins and the Plastic Man, all those guys, man. It really is hurtful for me because I've known him pretty much my whole childhood, Coach.
Yeah, and he was the kind of guy that I think, you know, everybody just enjoyed being around. I mean, you know, there are some people who I think really get it. They really get it, what it's all about. They get what the game's about, and Dikembe understood it was about the team and how he could help the team succeed. He got it in terms of his profession, but he got it in terms of life, and that it was about impacting other people. And I did not know him personally, but, you know, with my brother and with Patrick, I mean, I knew people that were very close to him, and the way they speak about him is in reverential terms. So certainly a huge loss for the NBA, for his country, for the Congo, and for everybody that came in contact with him.
And, Coach, what I love about our game of basketball, Coach, is how it brings us all together, Coach. Like, brings you and me together on this show and brought you a lot of players you've been around your whole life. And talk about how basketball is, as it should be, about how the world is, how we're all different backgrounds, but we all have a common goal and begin to like each other, love each other, share common things in common with each other, which we're not as far apart as some in the media and the world who want us to think we are, Coach.
Well, you're exactly right. I think it's the best thing about sports, because you bring together a bunch of competitive people. And so there's a goal in front of you, and you don't even necessarily always like the people that you're working with, but you have to learn to work with them. And generally what happens is not only do you come to respect those people, but you come to really like them. Even if you started out from very different places with people you didn't really maybe like at first sight, you get to see people in the toughest of spots, you know, in competition and stuff, and you come to appreciate their better qualities. And, you know, I always thought it was fun to notice on a bus or notice guys going out to dinner, and you just know that if it wasn't for basketball, those two people probably would have never met anyone even like the other person, let alone shared dinner with them, close friendships, godfathers to their kids, all of these things. The barriers get broken down. To me, it's the best thing about the game of basketball. And I think it's what the people, even the players who get so wrapped up in minutes and shots and stats and individual things, they miss that. They miss that. I mean, it's all about giving yourself to the team and the group. And I like to see guys who 10, 20 years down the road still have a bond with their teammates because of what they went through together. It's a special thing about sports. And we're not just talking at the NBA level. You know, we're talking at every level. If you do it right, if you do team sports right, if you give yourself to the team, you care about other people, then, you know, those bonds will exist.
And, Coach, I'll tell you a quick story, Coach. Back in the day, the Atlanta Hawks used to practice at Morehouse College. I grew up literally 2 miles from Morehouse College, so he'll be Brown as the kid let me come to his practices. And he was very close with my father. You would think he'd be Brown and my dad. My dad's a Black Panther, part of the movement. And he'd be Brown of friends and got me to become come to practice as a young boy, got me to be a Hawks ball boy, eventually becoming a Braves bat boy. So I was like you said, Coach, you would think my dad and he'd be Brown be friends, but basketball made Coach Brown and my dad be friends, got me to be around the Hawks as a young boy at Morehouse and practices every day.
Well, and I think it goes the other way too, right? I mean, if it weren't for basketball, would Hubie Brown have had the opportunity to meet someone like your father and talk with someone like your father who had been part of the Black Panthers and the whole thing? I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area in California where the Black Panthers started in Oakland, Eldridge Cleaver and Huey Newton and that whole group, but I've never had the chance to talk to any of those people. My guess is Hubie wouldn't have either had it not been for basketball. And so on top of the bonds that are formed, I think we just get to be around people coming from different backgrounds that broaden your perspective on the world and open your eyes to the challenges and adversity that a lot of other people have had to overcome that you might read about in books or a newspaper article, but you really wouldn't get the same perspective if it were not for the game that gave you an opportunity to experience those people.
No doubt, Coach. And, you know, and I'll tell you what, Coach, my dad always enjoyed listening to you on TV, Coach. He said, Coach Van Gundy is still coaching. He's breaking stuff down for the listener and how you explain the drop coverages and the hedging. My coach, my father really enjoyed you on the TV. And I did too as well. So I'm learning when you're on the air, Coach, I'm learning as well. Like my father was as well. He really enjoyed how you broke the game down for the listener audience on TNT.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that, you know, we're sort of all creatures of our backgrounds. And I grew up, my dad coached for over 40 years. I was never not around the game. And I was always around not only the game, but coaches and coaching. I mean, most of my dad's best friends were coaches. The people my brother and I grew up around were coaches. Neither one of us were going to be good enough to play at a very high level. So, you know, we got into coaching. And so you'll look at the game through coach's eyes, and that's how you go at it. And I think that, you know, that perspective is different than, say, what a Reggie Miller or Candace Parker or Jamal Crawford or Jimmy Jackson or even Charles Shaq and Kenny bring to the game a little bit. And that's not to say it's better. Those guys bring a great perspective, and I love listening to all of those people. My perspective is just different. I didn't play at that level. I saw the game this way as a coach. I'm always thinking, what's the next adjustment? You know, what's the next teaching point? Things like that. And so I don't know that I could talk about the game any differently than I do. Now, also, a lot of times, and I even did this coaching, to be quite honest, the one thing about the NBA, and you know it, you've been around it, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're another player or a coach, these guys are so good, there's three or four times a game that little kid fan in you still comes out. I mean, yes. I remember times in games as a coach where one of our guys would do something or even one of our opponents' guys would do something, and I'd just turn around to my assistants and say, can you believe that? Like, it's just – and I certainly still have that as a broadcaster. So as much as you're into the coaching and the adjustments and all of this, you're also a fan of the game, man. These guys are phenomenal. They're the best players in the world. And sometimes the only appropriate thing to do is celebrate them.
Yes, indeed, Coach. Like you said, I've been around the NBA my whole life, man. It's been amazing, you know, being around all these great players I've been around, man. And, Coach, for you, as the game evolved from the 90s to now, how do you like how the game has evolved for you being a defensive guy. I know how you got to have put Shaq in the post, Miami put Shaq in the post, Dwight in the post, the four out, one in. So for you, how has the game changed for you, and how you like how the game is progressing from when you got started college coaching to the end time in the NBA to now?
Yeah, prehistoric times to now. I mean, the game's changed that much. I mean, it's really, really different. But look, nothing ever stays the same. I mean, I think that obviously players, athletes in general in all sports just continue to improve and get better and learn from the people ahead of them. And, you know, so the players get better. It makes coaches adjust, which leads to the next adjustment. And right now we're in a phase where the offense is way ahead of the defense right now. And the skill level is so high, the floor is so spread out, that it's tough on defenses, but defense still matters. I mean, you know, it's all relative. I mean, you might not be holding teams in the 90s anymore, but it's still the Boston Celtics winning the championship. It's still the Minnesota Timberwolves going to the conference finals, which surprised people. Those are the two best defensive teams in the league. So it's relative, but it's still important. It has to be taught differently. I think the game is at a high point. It's fun. Fans are loving it. All of that is good. The only thing that I haven't liked over the last 5 or 6 years is I think we've become a league where almost every team plays the same way. Like, you turn on whatever game you turn on, everybody's going to be running five out offense with the big man as the hub at the top of the key. Everybody's doing the same things. And maybe it's just me, but from a coaching standpoint, I don't find that interesting. You know, I'm watching the same thing every night. It's like Golden State and then 29 other teams play the same way. And so I miss where there were different styles of play. I miss where teams ran different sets and things like that. I mean, I do think there's teams who, relatively speaking, are trying to bring some of that back. I thought Monty Williams, when he was coaching, you know, ran a lot of good set offense. Ty Lue, you know, but what you mainly see with those sets now in the NBA is they're just after timeout type things. You don't, in the flow of the game, it's all five out. And I just like to see more, but that's just a personal thing. Even saying that, the game's at just such a high level, and the pace and the skill, and, you know, we're watching guys Luka Doncic's size and Giannis Antetokounmpo's size, you know, with their ability to handle the ball and make plays, and the shooting range on guys like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal basketball. And then we even see guys like Jalen Brunson, who don't have the size, are not incredible athletes, but have learned how to play the game and,
yes,
and can get it done still. The players I find really, really fun to watch. I mean, every night you're just watching something spectacular. I find the individual players probably more fun to watch than the way teams are playing.
And Coach Van Gundy, yesterday, seeing Zach Edey, 7'4", take 3-pointers on pick and pops, I was like, whoa. I was, my dad would lose his mind. A 7'4" guy was taking threes on a pick and pop and not doing a rim roll or a lob. I'm like, I know my dad's up there going crazy.
Well, I think ideally, right, the ideal big guy now, I think, we'll be able to do both. You know, we'll be able to roll to the rim and finish, catch lobs, but would also be able to pop and shoot the ball. Now, if you can do one of them, you're going to be pretty good if you can also protect the rim at the other end. But I think when developing players, if you can get a guy who can do both, Chet Holmgren, I think, is a guy who can do both. Kristaps Porzingis can do both. Those guys become really, really tough now, because if your big comes up, they can get behind him and catch the lob. If that guy's in drop coverage, they can pop and shoot the three. Those guys become impossible covers. And so I'm sure I've read all summer that they were going to try to get Edie to shoot the ball from three. Personally, playing against him, as big as he is, I'd give him every three he wanted. You know, just keep that big body away from the basket where I don't have to worry about giving up layups, fouling him, and keeping him on the offensive glass. And if he can knock down three threes in a game, well, more power to him. I mean, you know, you can't – one of the things in the NBA that hasn't changed but is probably even more prevalent is you can't take away everything. You just can't. No doubt. And so – but you have to take away something. And I think sometimes in trying to take away everything, we give up everything. And so you got to decide – Steve Clifford was the best on that with me when we'd be going over game plans, you know, and we'd talk about, well, how do you want to guard their pick and rolls? And, you know, they'd give, whoever was doing the game plan would give their ideas. And I'd say, that leaves this open. And so they'd go on to option B and I'd say, well, that leaves this open. And Steve would say, hey, they're going to get a shot. I mean, the question is, like, what do you want to give up? Because you can't take away everything. And I think it's absolutely true. So for Zach Edey, Zach, stay behind that three-point line. I'll make a deal with you. We'll give you those shots if you promise me you'll stay out there.
Hey, Coach, my dad would say this to his team. Do you want to get shot in the head or shot in the heart? Which one do you want?
That's exactly right. And I do think it's a pick-your-poison thing. Going back to when I had to coach against LeBron James in the playoffs on two different occasions, I mean, this guy is arguably the best player who's ever played the game. Look, he can hurt you in so many ways. So what you can't do, in my opinion, or couldn't do at the time, you don't want him killing you, scoring the ball, and making everybody else on his team better. So what is it you want to do? You're going to try to get the ball out of his hands? My thought was always, he's going to pick us apart. Now everybody's involved in the game, and I don't know that we can keep him from scoring anyway. And so we tried as much as possible, not that we didn't help, but tried as much as possible to play him one-on-one and take out his teammates who, not in his Miami years, but in his Cleveland years, were a little bit more limited. But if he could just get them shots where they could step in and shoot it, they were good. Let's take those away, and we'll live with LeBron scoring. And so I've had guys over the year get 50 against us players, and we still win the game. I mean, you're not gonna stop people from scoring. The great Brendan Malone, Michael's father, used to say all the time, like, you'd have one guy killing you. He's scoring every time. But your team's up 10. And he said, doesn't matter who's scoring. It matters, is our defense getting the job done against their team? You can't panic about one guy. So I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, Coach, I tell you what. But it's great to watch, man. It's so great to watch the game. And for you, Coach Van Gundy, it's for you, man. Do you feel better now in retirement, just be able to just call the games rather than the stress of just having – I know you missed the camaraderie with the guys. We all do. But this is more fun just to be call the game and come back to Florida, enjoy your kids, and just not be stressed out. Like, I know you can be sometimes because you really care about winning a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier, certainly. It's easier and in a lot of ways more enjoyable because the result's not hanging over your head. You're not worried about it. I know my brother, when he was broadcasting, would always say, you know, the only thing he thought about after the game when he was broadcasting is, where are we going to eat? You know, you're not worried about what just happened in those 48 minutes. But certainly, as you said, I mean, the thing that I really miss is the camaraderie of a team and a coaching staff. But I also really miss the competition, you know, and there's a part of me, I mean, if I got the right opportunity, I'd go back to it tomorrow. You know, I mean, I would. If somebody came to me and was interested, because there's nothing like the challenge of coaching at that level and trying to figure out a way to win a game against the best players in the world, against the best coaches in the world. I mean, it's a phenomenal challenge, and it can be very frustrating. Sometimes you're banging your head against the wall and you can't get it figured out. But when you do, and when your team's playing well and you're winning games, it's a great feeling.
And, Coach, I'm going to tell you, this year I'm going to be volunteer assistant coaching for Albany State. So I'm going to be going there on my off days from the Hawks to go cup to Albany State. The D2 school, they don't really have any a budget. So I'm going to go help my friend, Coach Patrick Gale, who's from Miami. So, Coach, for young coaches like myself, get into it, do you suggest doing what I'm doing, be a volunteer assistant coaching, getting on sessions, you watching the film, helping out where you can, kind of get reps because you want to get better in this business and grow and progress up the ranks of this great business that you've been a part of for years, Coach?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no way to become better at anything without doing it. And coaching's certainly part of that. I mean, and I think that what you're doing as basically a volunteer at a Division II school will get you more experience than being the eighth guy on a Division I staff somewhere who's got no responsibility. One of the best things that my dad advised me when I was coming out was, you know, when you're young and when you don't have to make a lot of money in the whole thing, take responsibility, choose responsibility over money. And so there'll be guys at, you know, at Alabama or at Kentucky, you know, or the eighth or ninth guys on the staff getting paid good money, but they're not getting the experience that you would get where you are or as a high school coach or whatever. And you have to learn how to break down film, and you have to learn how to go out on the floor and teach somebody to do something. I mean, fans can usually figure out what a team needs to do to win. Like, hey, we got to rebound the ball better. Good. How are you going to do that?
Yes.
Who are you going to play? How are you going to teach them to rebound the ball better? You know, all of those things, the techniques, that's coaching. You know, like I said, fans can figure out, man, hey, you know, they need to shoot more threes. Well, really? Well, we don't have anybody to shoot them. So we have to manufacture other stuff. I mean, it's those kind of challenges you only get if you're in the arena and coaching. And those are the kind of guys that, you know, I'm used to being around. There's a guy, Bob Beyer, was on my staff in Orlando, Detroit, New Orleans. He's with J.J. Redick now, on the front of the bench with the Lakers. Bob came up, Division III player, Division III assistant coach, you know, on up through the ranks in college as assistant coaches, finally a head coach. And then I think he's on his ninth NBA team. But he was at that lower level learning to coach. And the other advantage is, I don't care who you are, you're going to make mistakes when you're coaching in your first few years. And when you get to do it at smaller schools or the high schools, you can make those mistakes out of the limelight. Like, I've always looked at and had unbelievable respect for what JJ's going through. But like, for a Jason Kidd, like, the first time you're ever going to coach is going to be in front of 20,000 people a night and the media attention and everything else. I mean, wow. And I don't think people need to pay their dues. I have no problem. Jason Kidd, to me, has been a good coach since the first day he stepped into it. I just can't imagine myself ever having done that. I needed 14 years as a college coach, starting, you know, as an assistant and then a lower level head coach. I needed 14 years in college and 8 years as an NBA assistant before I stepped into it. I just can't even imagine what those guys go through the first time. I have great respect for it.
And, Coach, I'm looking forward to it. The guys are doing workouts every morning. Practice starts in a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to all my off days from the Hawks going down there to in part on the wisdom my dad gave me and for my days as well. So, Coach, I'm excited about this journey because I love coaching. I respect coaching and to do it, follow my dad's footsteps in coaching. I can't wait to do it, Coach.
Yeah, that's outstanding, and it's exciting. And I think what people don't realize too often, too, is the game's the same as far as coaching it. I mean, you're trying to maximize whatever you have. I mean, it's wow, the NBA is a higher level. Well, yeah, but you got higher level players on your team too. So, you know, it's the same at every level. You go into some games where you have more talent than the other people. You've got certain advantages and you got certain disadvantages. It's the same at every level. And at every level, you got to make your players better. Like I'll hear people say, well, you know, in high school, they got to make their players better every day. That's the focus. Yeah. And it is in the NBA too, because that's what it's all about. You know, it's so the game itself doesn't change. I worked for a great coach for 2 years, Nick McCarchuk at Canisius in Fordham. And he used to say that all the time. He said, I don't care if it's junior high, high school, Division III, Division II, Division I, NBA. It's all the same. Except on payday. That's where it's different. And that's what he said, and he's absolutely right. Like, and if you're a junior high coach, the biggest basketball game that's going to be played that week is yours, the one you're in for you and those players. And so I don't care if there's 20 people in the stands or 20,000. That's a huge game. I mean, people would always ask me, like, what's the biggest win you ever had? I said, 1985, Castleton State College, the finals of the NAIA District 5 tournament in Portland, Maine. You know, I mean, and we won it at the buzzer. Still the biggest win I've ever had. I mean, I coached, I don't know, 11 years in the NBA as a head coach. There's nothing that tops that. I mean, it's not about all the external stuff. It's about that game and that team and your focus, and it doesn't change at any level.
Nah, Coach, you're right, man. Like you said, Coach, being in the fires again, being our opening team meeting, Coach, I felt that feeling again, like when I played, like I felt it again, Coach. Like, this is what I want, that rush. And I felt it our first team meeting. I'm like, yes, that's what I need to be.
That's exactly right. And that's what I miss being out of it. I haven't been able to find that in any other realm. I mean, you know, it's the sports are special, again, if done right. If they're done selfishly and things like that, well, it's like anything. If you don't do it right, if you don't give yourself to the team, you're not going to get the same thing out of it.
Coach Van Gundy, this has been a pleasure to talk to you again, man. I told you, I say, you've always been one of my favorites to talk to and see out at games, man. And you're one of the best people in basketball. I seriously believe that, man. And I look forward to seeing you on the road this year. Hopefully you cover a Hawks or a Grizzly game. And I'll see you on the road for TNT, man.
That sounds good. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Coach.
All right.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus. on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Gerald the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.